Welcome back to the Clean Sailors Podcast. Let's talk about sailing, our marine industry, and innovations towards getting it clean. I'm your host, Holly, founder of Clean Sailors and a sailor myself with a passion for the health of our mighty oceans. Through conversations with innovators, inventors, adventurers, and inspirational sailors, we're looking at those who are helping to change the way things are done. Based in Brussels, the European boating industry represents the European leisure marine industry across Europe. Over 6 million boats are kept in European waters, and we've over 10,000 marinas. The industry is huge. As Secretary General, Philip Easthill is responsible for running the show. So what does the EBI stand for, and what are their current priorities? Let's find out. Philip, thank you so much for joining me.
Good morning, Holly. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
Fantastic.
I've been looking forward to this conversation because, as we sort of alluded to, the EBI is obviously quite a present authority here in Europe regarding our leisure marine industry. But I think we can understand a little bit better what it does. And I'd love to use this time with you to really describe and showcase what EBI is responsible for, what you're working on, and ultimately what your goals are for Europe. What is your role and what is the EBI exactly?
I've had the honor of running EBI for 5 years now, since September 2019. I started just before COVID. I had the opportunity to meet members in the industry for a couple of months and then going into lockdown. But yeah, what is EBI? So we are a membership-based association. So we have 28 members. So that's in some cases the National Industry Association, some individual companies. And between all of these associations and individual members, we have thousands of companies in our membership. So indirectly, we represent the entire recreational boating ecosystem, which I really think it is. It's everything from marinas to charter companies, distributors, dealers, technical companies, refit, but very much also the yards, the manufacturers, the producers of engines, everything that goes in, on, or around a boat is what we represent in terms of the industry side. We are based in Brussels, Belgium, because our main role is to really be the main advocate for the boating industry at the European level. So we spend a lot of time in the European Parliament, in the European Commission, to talk to elected politicians and civil servants about our industry. We also do a lot of work on somehow identifying the key challenges and opportunities for our industries and developing that enabling framework for the industry to really benefit from these opportunities. We do some advocacy work, as I said, we do some studies, we do communications, we do a lot of events and projects. And you alluded a bit in the introduction to the numbers, and I think that's quite important. And especially when we talk to politicians, we like to use these numbers, but also for us, it's important to remember that it's a sizable industry. It's the 10,000 marinas you mentioned, the millions of users, but also on the industry side, it's 32,000 companies, mainly small and medium-sized companies. The Americans call them sort of mom and pop businesses. It's really a lot of small companies all around Europe and not really where the main economic heartlands are, but in rural areas, in the seaside, on islands. So it's quite an impactful industry. So I think that's always important to keep in mind.
The size of Europe is not insubstantial. I think this is also the thing. And we're talking about a variety of different states, different kind of jurisdictions, and appreciate obviously as a union, there's a lot in common, but ultimately also different cultures. We've all had a very different legacy and history within the marine world, right? And I think it's an excellent proxy in some ways for an industry, because you've obviously got production, you've got manufacture, you've got the service industry that goes within marine, right? There are so many different facets. It's this incredibly diverse and rich, almost vertical, if you like. And when you say you're talking with politicians and otherwise, what exactly are you talking about?
It's a great question. And just to put you at ease, our membership and our role is definitely not just European Union, 27 countries, but is much wider than that. So for example, we have members from Finland to Italy, but also from the UK to Ukraine. So it's quite a wide remit that we cover. So yeah, no worries there about the UK not being part of it. What do we talk about with politicians? So we have a lot of topics that we have identified, which are important for our industry, for our members. So those are issues such as sustainability. How do we find the right approach to reducing environmental impact? How does legislation impact us? How can we develop legislation that enables and doesn't block innovation? But we have also a lot of questions around and topics around qualifications, so boating licenses. We have the somehow ridiculous situation that if you have a driving license for a car in Europe, you can take it anywhere, you can move anywhere. But if you have a boating license, in those countries where you need it, and you move abroad, suddenly you have to retake the entire license. So yes, we have different cultures for the marine industry, for boating, but if you can drive a boat in Germany, I'm sure you can drive it in Italy and in Finland and in the UK. So that's a bit one of those issues that we're sort of bringing to the forefront and say, let's find a pragmatic solution and have, let's say, mutual recognition of licenses or whatever it could be. So I think those are two good examples of sort of what we're bringing to the attention of elected politicians and civil servants, but always sort of with the aim in mind to grow the industry, to make it more innovative, more sustainable, and to provide more opportunities to make business.
Now, you mentioned obviously sustainability, which is, you know, going to naturally be sort of a prime focus of our conversation together, not least because obviously we're doing this for Clean Sailors, but also because it is one of the, you know, the biggest topics certainly of the last decade, and increasingly so, not least because we're understanding now the gravity of the impact of our marine industry, and, you know, whether that is from cruising and shipping all the way down to the sort of the leisure ecosystem which you oversee. So in sustainability, what are some of the goals that the EBI has cultivated in order to measure and progress topics of sustainability?
Sure. So it kind of has two dimensions. One is the advocacy lobbying element. I'll come to that in a second. But the other is, how can we improve our industry's environmental performance, which is essentially what we want to do and what we need to do as an industry. And one of the ways we want to do that is to look at environmental impact, not just as a sort of a one single-minded approach focused on propulsion of fuels, because that's incredibly challenging for our industry to do. We have the issue that we don't get innovation as the first ones, but there's a sort of an innovation lag where innovation and new technologies come to the automotive industry or to other industries, and then 5 to 10 years later, they come to our industry. So we know that there's a lot of issues there, but we need to focus on the entire life cycle. That's basically our message. You need to focus on everything from raw materials that go into the boat or into the engine to the end of life. And at every step of the way, our industry can have an impact. It doesn't always need a lot of investment or a lot of money or time, but some of the measures can be fairly simple. But it comes down to the fact that you need all of the levers to be pulled and to be ready to be pulled for sustainability. And just focusing on the use phases is definitely not enough. You need to focus on, as I said, raw materials, manufacturing, even distribution. You can have a lot of positive impacts. So that's basically what we're trying to encourage. And we're doing that in many different ways. So, for example, we have a ongoing project for now European, but we're also working with international partners here at a global level and in the United States and North America to enable a methodology so that all the yards, all the manufacturers use the same way to measure essentially life cycle impact and sustainability, and that they can then work on eco-design and actually communicate about the positive impact that they're having and the improved environmental performance. But just to give another example, we're also part of a bigger consortium, a bigger project, where we are developing training courses and a new curricula for boat builders in vet education, so vocational education, but also academic education, on how they can use new materials, new, more sustainable materials, composite materials, flax fibers, hemp fibers, basalt fibers, in the process of building a boat. So we're trying to give very practical lessons and guidance back to boat builders now and in future.
It was very exciting. And obviously, as you've alluded to, again, it's an incredibly complex industry because it's founded or grounded in, obviously, the production, the design of boats, the production, the actual manufacture, the shipping, the logistics of it, the actual utility and the use of it, and then the end of life as well. And so the life cycle, I appreciate, encompasses much of that. On that basis, then, what do you see as being perhaps a couple of the most impactful ways that our leisure activities detriment the environment? What are you most aware of, and what perhaps are those are the areas that the BI are focusing on in terms of environmental impact?
Well, absolutely. So we have a lot of areas of impact, of course, and where we can make a difference. We already talked about the obvious one, which is sort of the tailpipe emissions, but also very, very critical, but also very difficult to make changes from one day to another. But if we look at that and use that as a specific example, in terms of new propulsion, that's very difficult. But what you can do now is you can already now use biodiesel or new types of fuels with which you can massively reduce your CO2 emissions from that boat. And I think that's important because, yes, we are the ones who are building the new boats, fitting the new boats, But we know that boats stay on the water, on the market for 40, 50, probably 100 years in some cases. So those are older engines, more polluting engines. So we need to find a way to also decarbonize and reduce their environmental impact. And one of the ways to do that is through sustainable fuels. So I think that's quite important. But in terms of other impacts, of course, we're looking at the end of life cycle. How can we improve that? How can we make sure that our industry feeds into the circularity of materials, not just putting those into landfill or incineration, but using those in new processes, in new industries that are adjacent to ours. And I think that's where we should actually improve the environmental performance of our industry. But of course, it's in the raw materials. But we also have to look at, let's say, some of the, let's call them challenges of tomorrow, such as underwater noise, anti-fouling, where a lot of innovation is happening, which is really fascinating. But of course, we need to look at that as well. So we need to look at it, as I said already, kind of in a comprehensive way and find a way to really look at every single part of environmental performance. And sometimes going in one direction might include one indicator, but it might harm another indicator. So it's really important that we have this comprehensive approach to the life cycle.
It's just so huge. I think this is the thing. And it's such a rare opportunity to speak with you, let's say, in having a, you know, proper conversation so that we can share this with others, because I obviously appreciate there's so much work has been done on the topic of sustainability in marine and otherwise. But I think also, you know, year after year, if not month after month, more information becomes available and more research is done. So we've known now that our boats are leaving equivalent of vapor trails through the water with their antifoul. We know now that the impact of glass fibers has been called the new asbestos in our waters because of our boats are constantly shedding, you know, their material, like most materials are. My jumper is constantly shedding, you know, fibers as I'm wearing it. So we're getting all of this really somewhat alarming, but also incredibly satisfying knowledge from the science community in particular, which I appreciate can be overwhelming, but also gives us much greater propulsion, I would hope, to address some of these issues as opportunities. But again, appreciating that the scale, as you said, we've got all of these different levers to pull in all these different layers through not just the legislature, but also through just civic society and also the marine community itself, people like you and I who enjoy boating, who may own boats or otherwise. It's a mammoth task, Philip.
Absolutely. And of course, we need to take into account what science tells us and all of these different things that are coming up and we're learning about. But we have to obviously do it in a way that the industry can stomach and is able to actually deliver. We need solutions, but we will be at a huge risk as an industry if we implement everything at once without consideration what it does in terms of impact, comprehensive impact, but also cost. I think it's very important to know that obviously our industry is cost sensitive. That's maybe not very obvious from the outside, but if we look at the cost of a new boat just over the last years, it has massively increased every type of boat because of inflation, supply chain issues, HR issues, costs, employment, all of these things have come up. And I think it's really important that we also keep that sort of entry level doorway into the industry open for people to come into the industry, maybe start on a kayak or a standard paddle board and be able to move up to a small sailing boat or motorboat eventually and sort of transition into the industry. We mustn't forget that. And while obviously we talk about the areas where we need to improve environmental impact and so on, I think it's also really important to understand the, let's say, positive side of boating, not just for our own health, let's say, physical and mental health. I think you and me can probably agree that being out on the water is pretty good for us, our body and our mind, but also to understand what this gives to people, to kids, to young people, to everyone, essentially, by being out on the water. It gives you those better health outcomes. It gives you a better feeling, but also it helps to build environmental awareness. It helps to build what they call ocean literacy. I think that's really important. So we mustn't forget that we need to balance those two things when we think about all of these issues.
I absolutely agree with you. And I think we're both sitting here right in the middle of things like the America's Cup. And as we said, with an eye on the Vendée Globe coming up, I mean, in terms of it being a sport for, you know, inspiration and achievement and excelling in innovation and technology, the marine industry itself is unparalleled in that sense. I mean, it really is incredibly historic and almost seems limitless in terms of what we're capable of achieving and designing going forward. And you're absolutely right. I mean, appreciating in order to garner any long-standing change, we do need to inspire and educate. And what role can you see going forward, if at all, appreciating the capacity of the EBI and again, the mammoth of the opportunity here, but what role can the EBI play in that, the inspiration and the education of these opportunities to the general public and the marine community?
Well, I think our role is more to focus on the second part of that, sort of more the marine community and the industry, and to really build that enabling framework on a legislative side, but also on a sort of industry framework side, so that we cooperate, we talk together, we don't necessarily all choose the same innovation or the same technology, but that when we do, we are able to communicate about it in a transparent way, and that we develop that trust from consumers in the industry that we're doing the right thing. We're trying to impact environmental performance in a positive way with innovation, with new technology, and that we're not greenwashing. So I think that's basically our role, to build that framework for the industry.
And what do you feel so far have been sort of your greatest achievements with the EBI? I appreciate that whilst it may feel like forever, 5 years is almost an exciting drop in the ocean in terms of the opportunity again. But what are you so proud of so far?
I think some of the things that we've been able to move forward have been really, really important. Let's say just three examples. I think it was 2 years ago, we held, or the European Parliament held for the first time, a public hearing on water-based tourism. And many of our industry stakeholders were able to speak about them. That's fantastic. That was in the Transport and Tourism Committee. So that's quite unique, and not all industries have that possibility. So to be able to directly talk to politicians, and for example, we were in Geneva at the Geneva International Boat Show just last week, and there we were able to bring elected politicians from Europe, from the global level, from United Nations Tourism Authority, to show them several boats, to talk to them about our industry. And that's always a fascinating process, because we learn a lot, they learn a lot, and we can really develop with them some initiatives that help the industry. I think the other maybe one or two things that are quite important to what we did is, I talked about it earlier, to have these different manufacturers, competing manufacturers, come together to develop a common approach on life cycle assessments. So that's 17 plus manufacturers, from Buster Boats in Finland to Sunreef in Poland to Bavaria in Germany, Sunseeker, Italian yards, French yards. So that's quite unique. And I think that is testament to not us, but to the industry kind of understanding that we need to work together and come towards a common vision on and work on sustainability. But doing that in a way that is positive for the industry and that allows us to innovate, allows us to grow and do things in a proper way. So I think that would be one thing. And then the last one is that in the last years, we worked a lot, and it's one of our main priorities, on circular economy and end-of-life boats. So I think last year it was, we published together with the European Commission, again, sort of a public-private partnership, quite unique, a roadmap on how we want to tackle end-of-life boats. And the idea is, with this, we have a clear commitment in there in terms of phasing out less sustainable recycling technologies, moving up the waste hierarchy, looking at new materials, and building that, also that legal framework that is needed to actually be able to recycle boats and dismantle boats in a proper way. So I think those are the kind of things that we're trying to do, really practical things. I'm sure that sometimes these things may sound a bit sort of dry and bureaucratic, but they're really important towards the industry to be able to have that framework, and also security to know that what is being developed now will be able to be used in future as well. And I think that's really important.
You're right. It's a very important area, but it's a fascinating area, because I think one of the trajectories that we're quite familiar with in society is that there's only so far that you can go as kind of a grassroots movement or to inspire and educate. There does at some point need to be a time where the legislator steps in and says, no, hey, we need to make some real rules and some real boundaries around how this is operating. I mean, let's take, for example, GDPR. You know, we've had the sharing of data globally as systems have developed at an exponential rate over the last, say, 20, 30 years in particular. And at some point, the legislature steps in and says, no, we really need to regulate the way that this is done for the protection of all, right? And it's been one of those more recent societal legal frameworks that have really provided some safety and security in the way that we operate day to day. So I think it's imperative at some point, because there's only so far that, you know, you or I as individuals or anyone else can go to try and make a big enough change. I think in some ways it's a pity that legislature takes as long as it does, but in some ways it's testament to the amount of research and sincerity with which these kind of frameworks are put through. It shouldn't be something a quick overnight element. As you said, we're trying to move whole industries and in some ways societies towards a different kind of outcome. And that does take consideration. It does take care. In that, what have been some of the biggest obstacles you and the EBI have faced in what you're trying to do? Because you're talking obviously politics and law, and they're the two of the most juicy kind of areas, but they can be very bureaucratic and also quite slow moving. But how do you overcome that? How do you sort of reframe some of these obstacles as you go along?
Absolutely. So as you say, legislation is really important. It sort of builds that framework for industry. I think our position, the way we try to approach lobbying legislation, is that we want to build our own framework. We are such a unique industry, incomparable to almost any other. We're not just tourism. We're not automotive. We're not the heavy truck industry or even shipping. So we're so unique. So we need to develop our own frameworks, our own measures. And then at some point, legislation will come. But we prefer to be proactive and develop something that ideally can be adopted by legislation later on. But basically, that's the way we approach legislation mainly. But there's a lot of other obstacles. So, I mean, this is all about sustainability, what we talked about. But there's a lot of other sort of political slowness, lack of understanding on many issues. So I talked earlier about the driving license issue and boating license issue. So that's something we've known and the industry has brought to the attention of politicians for at least the last 10 or 15 years. And nothing, now there's movement, which is great. But there's a lot of these issues where they are red tape, they are burdens without real reason or any negative impact. But changing that would have a positive impact on our industry, and having a positive impact on our industry means growing tourism, growing the economy, growing employment. So all of these things are really important. So we are seeing that sometimes that political lack of speed, which we would like to improve, but that's our job to bring it to the attention of elected politicians. So we are moving that forward. So that's great. I think the other issue that I've alluded to already earlier is that our industry is reliant on innovation also coming from other sectors. So there is that lag in time. That's really important. I think the other issue is the industry is experiencing some difficulties in terms of the market. Inflation, interest rates, all of that haven't made it easier, as hasn't the sort of general geopolitical situation. So we need to get out of that, and we need to get growing again and focus on what we really want to focus on. I think the other issue that's important is sort of that consumer readiness. I mean, we can bring a lot of innovation to market, but the consumer needs to be accepting and understanding of what we are doing. So I think that's something really important to take the consumer, the boater, along with us on this pathway.
It's incredibly exciting and very interesting. I mean, I think the thing is that when you're operating in an environment as complex as this, you've got to feel almost doubly, if not triply, achieving when you get some of these things through. And I think what's incredibly refreshing to hear is that you're right, rather than sort of lobbying on the issues, you're actually helping to create the frameworks and the legal kind of boundaries, which can be sort of installed or implemented on all of us. And that's an incredibly important place to be, not least because you're being informed by the industry itself by virtue of your members and otherwise.
Exactly. That's really important that we take that input, come as a sort of bottom up, a small boatyard building two boats and bringing it, in our case, to Brussels or to any government. And that's how I see really when it comes down to it. That's what I see as our main challenge and our main responsibility, is that sort of translation, interpretation, top down, what is happening here in Brussels? What does it mean for our industry? But also bottom up, what is happening at that very granular local level, and how can it be translated to Brussels and national government? So that's what we're trying to do, basically.
And you're right, the macro environment in some ways for the leisure marine industry in Europe as a sector, you know, as a segment of the whole global one, is so impacted by the macro environment around it. It's not an industry that necessarily creates the very, very raw materials that can provide the very, very raw materials for boat building. I mean, it's relying upon sort of a much wider global economy for everything, whether it's composite material or paneling for interiors or, you know, all the way up to sort of the service level and the tourism and the hospitality level. It's not just driven by Europeans. And that's what makes it an even more, I say exciting because I think it generally is, but I'm really impressed by the scope of work and the breadth of what you're sort of tussling with, because it's an incredibly large and dynamic force, let's say.
Absolutely. But it is exciting and it is fun. I mean, for someone who really loves the boating industry and boating, like I'm sure you do as well, but I certainly do, it's really fascinating and really fun. So For example, every time I go to a boat show, I come back sort of reinvigorated because you can really see what it is you are fighting for and working for. So if I look out of my office window here, it's a grey office block in Brussels and the weather's equally grey today. So that's not really my industry. We just happen to be here because it's proximity to the European Parliament. But it's really about actually seeing who you work for, which is the people who are building fantastic products and building fantastic boats and giving that unique experience to boaters, to water sports enthusiasts. So that's really what we are working towards.
And it is employability and it is skills as well. I mean, this is an industry which it's huge. It's not just us that are getting on the water every kind of weekend. So as a proxy, again, for a huge segment of European society, let's say, as an industry, it is colossal. What are some of the things that you are looking forward to that the EBI is working on? Or what are some of the things that you've been working on that are actually going to come to fruition, you feel, over the coming months?
So I think the next big step in our calendar will be Port Düsseldorf. So we just finalized an event also in Geneva at the boat show. The next will be in Port Düsseldorf, where we have basically two large events. One is called the Breakfast Meeting, which is sort of every year a different topic. 200 people on a Tuesday morning come together just before a show starts, and we always have a different topic. So for example, in January, we are focusing on the next generation. What does the consumer of the boat of tomorrow look like? How are those new sort of generations looking at boating and ownership and all of these really important big questions that we're asking ourselves? The other is the Blue Innovation Dock. So that's a kind of a 9-day forum / stage in one of the halls of Port Düsseldorf, where every day we have different speakers, politicians coming, industry experts, our stakeholders to really discuss on almost everything we've just discussed in the last however many minutes it was on sustainability of propulsion of fuels. What can we do at the design phase? What is happening in the super yachting industry? All of these things are on the agenda. So that's something really exciting that we're looking forward to.
In terms of the industry, like if you had to say one question or one ask of the industry as a whole, based on what you're trying to achieve with the EBI, what would it be? What would be your ask?
It's what I said already earlier. I think it's all about cooperation, coming together and obviously not sharing your personal company intelligence and what you're working on and what innovation is coming, but to set that framework together. I think that's really important. At the end of the day, yes, we have some larger companies, but in the bigger scheme of things, it's not very large companies. So I think that's really important that we come together as an industry and cooperate. So that would be my major ask. But I think that's already happening. So, but it can always be extended.
Extended, but also just sustained, hey? What would you ask of boaters, the everyday person like myself, for example?
But I think it's sort of coming on this pathway with the industry and being part of that story to understand what's coming. But most boaters in Europe or globally, they're not sitting there or sailing or boating or 5 or 10 year or even brand new boats, but they're on boats that have been in the water for many years. So I think it's always good to ask what you can do today. In terms of sustainability, I already talked about HVO and biodiesel, which has an immediate impact on the greenhouse gas emissions of your boats where it is available. But I think that's really important to understand what you can do today in terms of fuels, anti-fouling, the type of products you use on your boat. I think that's something to look at today.
And the technology is already there and also increasing as we go along and innovating, hey?
Exactly. I think we can stay positive because there's a lot of things happening. If you walk around any boat show, if you talk to some of those industry experts, it's really fascinating what they're developing and what's coming in the pipeline.
Absolutely. And I think a big part of this has always been about almost just connecting the dots. There's a lot of science already there. There's a lot of innovators and engineers there. And actually, it's almost connecting them with the almost like the markets within which they can sort of grow. I mean, a lot of the innovations, as you've seen, have come from outside the marine industry, as they should, right? They're solutions that can be used across many different areas. Look at composites and the wind energy in the renewable infrastructure segment. A lot of the technology around composite recycling has come from that side as opposed to inside marine. So I think, again, it speaks to that highly internationalized element of the marine industry, despite Europe being obviously as big and as juicy as it is. And one reflection that I have on our conversation is also just what an exceptional market Europe is. So when you mention all of the names of the renowned boat builders and you look at the naval architecture as some of the most exceptional designers and engineers and innovators, that's not to exclude the rest of the world, but we've got an absolute hot pot of knowledge and experience right on our doorstep here. But again, just to conclude that, especially your role, Philip Easthill, dear Secretary General, with having, you know, the 37,000 kilometres, I think, of inland waterways and the 70,000 kilometres of coastline and the 6 million boats in Europe and the 48 million European citizens who participate in marine activities. This is a juicy role. So you must be very proud and also very busy.
Equally in both measure, I would agree.
I'm pleased to hear it. That's very positive. Well, Philip, thank you so much for joining me for this conversation and very much look forward to seeing you at some of the upcoming events in our new marine industry.
Thank you, Holly. See you soon.
You've been listening to the Clean Sailors podcast. For information on all episodes and for more about Clean Sailors, head to cleansailors.com. Thank you for listening and see you for the next episode.